Isaiah chapter 27.
All right. Dustin, would you pray for this service?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for being here. Got it back up after lunch. Now, bless the pastor as he gives us words to teach and us to hear. And us to take this and use it in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You know that trip they went to, where they went to go down to Chambersburg yesterday and the van broke down, and I've just heard nothing but praise to God over the whole trip.
Yep,
praise. Just God got in it, and people testified and confessed, and they sang songs together and everything else, and I love it. And one of the things that I particularly love is Tim told me when they first started out, you know, you just start in the morning a little cold or whatever, people were actually kind of maneuvering where they're going to sit in the van, a little reluctant and all that. He said the only one who probably should complain where he sits is Dustin, because he's huge, and he goes, nope, just goes in there and sits. All right, not a bit of complaint, and I love that. And it was a good testimony when he said that. So, and that is the thing. If the trip had gone successful, I still was going to ask the church to vote some money for Grace Baptist just as a courtesy. You know, that they would lend it to us for free. But right now, of the two churches, we're the one better off. Okay, in the sense of cash flow or whatever. And so I'd like to help them and take care of that. All right, Isaiah chapter 27. And we'll look right here, verse 1. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Now, back in the late 1800s, again, to be a thing, it's one of the things that destroyed Methodism and destroyed a lot of the Protestant religions and such, was as their young men went to Bible college, they began to try to explain everything in the Bible through natural things. Okay, so the idea is the Red Sea didn't really split. Was an area that was swampy and, you know, and it dries up suddenly at times. And, you know, and so they began to try to explain these things away, thinking they were building people's faith. They weren't building their faith. They were hurting their faith, okay? And I always love that story about, you know, the young kid in the class, and the professor said, oh, no, it's the reed seed. It only gets 2 foot. And the kid goes, oh, glory to God. What do you explain? God drowned all Pharaoh's army in 2 feet of water, you know? But the thing is, trying to explain these things away. Leviathan is one of those that now modern fundamentalists try to explain Leviathan away. They can't. We preached this morning about the idea of learning to see with other eyes than these, okay? Learning to hear with other ears than these. Now, one of the ways you're going to do that is by believing your Bible, okay? I believe my Bible more than the sight of my eyes. I believe my Bible more than the hearing of my ears. That's a cult. You know, it's brought joy to my life, to my family, to others. I've watched the bonds fall off of people, liberation come to their lives, cleanness, love come into their lives, joy come in. So I'm not too worried. Let people call it a cult. Let them call it whatever they want. But when it comes to who Leviathan is, I'm going to believe my Bible, okay? So right off the bat, it's somebody that God's going to punish, along with the devil, all right? He's a piercing servant, that crooked servant. He shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. He's pretty well telling you who he is. But if you have trouble with that, go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, look at verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Your Bible with your Bible tells you. Leviathan is one of the appearances of the devil. The devil is made in God's image. He said, I will be like the Most High God. God made him as that covering cherub. One of his forms is Leviathan. You'll find that in your Bible. Okay? Your Bible defined it. Said he's the piercing serpent. He's going to be punished. The dragon. All right? And it tells you that. It doesn't really leave you room for interpretation. Yesterday, I was reading behind a man who I greatly admire. Some of you, you know, Will Kinney, 80-some years old, sitting in Colorado. I've had some of you studying his work on the King James Bible. I don't believe there's any living man who has more knowledge of the King James Bible, and it's as far as its workings, its translation, and all the text behind it, and the various accusations and criticism. I don't believe there's any living man that knows more than he does, okay? I was reading behind him, he was talking about Leviathan. He said, it must be some kind of a reptile. No, it tells you who Leviathan is. It's not some kind of a reptile, okay? It tells you who he is. He said, some people think it's an alligator. He said, I don't think it's an alligator. No, I don't think it's an alligator either, Will, all right? It's what God says it is, okay? It's the piercing serpent. It's the dragon. It's the devil, okay? God told you that. Now, with that in mind, go to Job 41. The Lord, and again, one of the things I've always loved about the book of Job, and by the way, that's what Brother Tim McVeigh will be going into, is the book of Job. He's going to start on that. And I'll just tell you this. In the book of Psalms, when he taught the Psalms, there are things he taught that all my life I've never heard anybody get the revelation he got. Okay. And God confirmed those revelations. I watched the power of God drop in those revelations, okay? And powerful. He was at one psalm, I forget the thing, it was Psalm 78 or something. He was preaching that in Mocksville, and my son Michael finally stood up and said, I saw Jesus crying for me in that. I saw him crying for me, all right? And you go read 100 commentaries. You won't find any of them that see Jesus Christ in Psalm 78, all right? And yet McVeigh showed why that is him, and there was power to it. And he's got a lot in the book of Job. One of the things that both he and I in our studying have been doing is realizing how much Job typifies Jesus Christ from beginning to end. And some marvelous things in there. But regardless of that, Job chapter 41, canst thou draw Leviathan with a hook? Or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down. Leviathan is real. Where is Leviathan? He's in that great deep. Where is that great deep? Keep in your hand there. Go to Psalm 148. Then take your shoe off, put a foot there, and we'll go to another place. No. All right. Psalm 148. We'll just start in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels, praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon, praise ye him, all the stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters which be where? Above the heavens. Okay? Above them. Why? Because in the book of Genesis, what did you see God do? Okay? God took and separated the waters that above and the waters below. The waters below, the oceans, the rivers, the dew, the rain, the clouds. What's that one above? That's what he shoved up above the heavens. It's called the great deep. Okay? It's where the devils begged Jesus not to send them. Please don't cast us into the deep. They did not want to go there. How big is the great deep? Well, in heaven, aren't there gates made of a pearl? One gate made of one pearl? How big do you think that oyster is? Okay? Gives you an idea what that great deep is like. All right? That's why when Moses bringing the children out of Egypt and that splitting is a picture of the rapture. It's a picture of us going up through that great deep. All right? Being led out by Jesus Christ and being brought up there. Okay? So it's a picture of it. But Leviathan, that's where he is. Physically, that's where his form is. Physically, okay? He's all over the place, but physically that's where his form is. All right? Verse 3, will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Well, he did to God in the beginning of the book of Job, didn't he? Did he come to God and make supplications? Did he try to get Job in a lot of trouble? Yes, he did. All right? And when you have Job here, Elihu preaches to him, and you've heard me say this many times. Elihu's preaching is the first preaching message ever recorded in the Word of God. It tells about other people preaching. You might even say a thing or two, but the whole message, it's the first one ever recorded, the first message anywhere, okay? And it actually, in the midst of it, God does what every preacher longs to see God do. He steps in and he begins to talk to Job. Suddenly he begins to talk to him. That's what every preacher's looking for. I'm all glad if you're fascinated with my whatevers or something. I'll probably never be as good looking as Neil. But, all fascinated with what I speak and all that's wonderful and all your words, use those words so well and all that kind of stuff. But what I'm looking for is that while I preach, that still small voice is speaking inside of you, revealing things to you about yourself that I don't have a clue about and don't want to have a clue about. That's the power of God in the preaching. God does that in the book of Job. And he intervenes there. And one of the things that God intervenes to Job, and he begins to ask him even harder questions than Elihu did. And one of the things he asks him, all right, Job, you think you're such a big deal? Can you deal with Leviathan? Okay. You know, when Billy Sunday died, on his deathbed, he wept and told his wife, every one of our children is lost. Every one of our children, we lost them. Every one. Dr. Peter Ruckman said that's probably because Billy Sunday would get up there consistently and challenge the devil for fights. You don't do that. Okay? Even angels didn't dare bring really an accusation against him. Okay? You don't do that. You don't do that. The angel said, the Lord rebuke thee. Okay? Don't you try to get that devil into fights. Okay? Don't you try to do that. You're no match for him. You have a great God, a great Savior. You hide in him. Okay? Now it goes on and it says this. Verse 5, wilt thou play with him as with a bird, or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Now that sounds funny, but I want you to keep in your hand there. Go to Psalm 104. Look at verse 26. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. Do you realize God made Leviathan just a plaything for him? Will you bind him for your maidens if they can play with him? God could. Okay? God could do it. Job wouldn't dare. Do you realize, you know, one of the ways to understand all history is this. Stop and think of God. Before he ever created anything, taking a football and throwing it in this huge ark. And underneath that ark is all of angels' history, all of creation, all of human history. And finally, at the end of that ark, who stands there but God himself to catch that football exactly where he knew it would go. And yet every single person under that ark had free will. Every single person under that ark could do what they wanted to do, as they wanted to do it, listen to God, not listen to God, whatever else. But all in all, when God made Leviathan, he's just a plaything to him. There comes a point in the book of Revelation, after all these wars and everything else, and it just says, and the devil was taken. The devil was taken. Cast in the lake of fire. Okay? You're just out there, devil. He's just doing what God is laughing at him and letting him do. Okay? You go on out there. We saw last week it's a war between God and the devil. It's a war between them. In the midst of that war, God was good enough to destroy the devil's work in you if you have salvation. Okay? Bruise the, you know, second Adam from above, fill us with thy wondrous love. And he says, bruise the serpent in me, Charles Wesley said. It's a glorious thing. It's that battle. Now go back to Job chapter 41. Look at verse 6. Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? We're going to find that in the Psalms. With your hand there, go back to Psalm 74. I'll show you a verse, not hard to understand, very difficult to believe. Oh, let's go to verse 12, just to get a little context here. For God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of dragons in the waters. Now look at verse 14. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Let me ask you a few questions about the meat that he gave him in the wilderness. What color was it? It was white. What shape was it? It was round. A round white wafer. What did God say it came from there? Where did that manna come from? According to Psalm 74. The heads of Leviathan being broken. What do the Catholics do every Sunday? They take a round wafer and say, this is the body of our God. Don't they say that? Where does that come from? You see that thing? That's why in Revelation 17 it talks about Mystery Babylon. Oh my goodness, look at this thing. Okay? Look at that thing that's been out there. And then people try to explain Leviathan away like he's a crocodile or a dinosaur, all right? Or something of that sort. No, he's the devil, all right? God made him as something to play with, and he does play with him. Can you imagine his frustration as God's whacking his head and people are picking up pieces down there? Imagine his frustration in that. So they're picking them up and eating them. That's why it turned to worms. Okay? When they did it, it just turned to worms. Believe your Bible. Just believe your Bible. Okay? It's not hard to understand, is it? It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. That's the secret of the Bible. And that's why so many in the fundamentalists are following right along where the Methodists and the Protestants did. They're following right along with it, where they're trying to explain all this stuff away and some natural. No, just accept what it is. Let me tell you something. There was a man that died on a cross, okay? And he died, and he was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he rose again and took his body and stood again and said, I'm alive forevermore. That's a miracle. Are we going to try to explain that one away? And yet there are people who do. People try to explain that away, all right? There are a lot of things people just try to explain away. Just believe what your Bible says, okay? If that puts you in the nut category, I'm in the nut category, all right? I believe what my Bible says. Now go back with me to Job 41. Verse 7, canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever in the whole heavens is mine. By the way, in most places, the devil wants to be worshipped as God, as Jesus Christ. How is he worshipped in China by one quarter of the world's population? In the form he's in right there. He's not even disguised. Okay? Not even disguised. Just out there worshiping him in that form. Okay? Verse 12, I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his garment, or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. Why? Because he goes through outer space, he goes underwater. Okay? They are joined one to another, and they stick together, they cannot be sundered. By his sneezings, that's to breathe out. Sneezing is a forceful, sneezings is to breathe out of the nose. Sneezing is when it's done forcefully, all right? All right. By his sneezings, the light does shine. His eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goes smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. Now, that may sound strange to you, but I want you to keep in your hand there. Go back to Psalm 18. Or forward to Psalm 18. That's what happens when your preacher's dyslexic. Do you know how many times I've gotten on an interstate to go south and somehow convinced myself that north was south and I'll be driving? I remember one time driving a delivery van in Vermont and said, St. Johnsbury, 70 miles. I'm going to Hartford. And I thought, I didn't know they had a St. Johnsbury in Connecticut. And all of a sudden, they don't have one in Connecticut. You're driving the wrong way. and it's terrible for me trying to figure out directions. I have to stop and think, you know, what? I spent so much time as a kid having to write my J's over again because they were always backwards when I wrote and such. Back in those days, they didn't give you drugs or anything else. They just beat you on the head and made you write 500 times. Somehow it worked. All right, so Psalm chapter 18. Probably everybody's there but me. Psalm 18, look at verse 6. Now, this is Jesus on the cross. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills were moved and were shaken because he was wroth. What happened when Jesus was on the cross? There was an earthquake, wasn't there? What was the other thing that happened? It got dark, didn't it? Okay. Those two things. Kevin Sheridan, some of you know who he is, got a hold of me. He says, you know, it's all the movies. It's light out when Jesus died. It wasn't when Jesus died. It was dark. Okay. All right. Now look at verse 8. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Do you realize that the Father comes down in a rage to rescue Jesus Christ? But it describes a couple of things. One, he rode upon a cherub and did fly. You're seeing things. Why did it black out? Because no man's allowed to see what's going on here. The Holy Ghost is going to come down and get the blood. And nobody's allowed to. Do you realize those Roman soldiers went to their wives in the morning and said, oh, no blood. Okay. Now the blood from the other two thieves, but the one that, whatever one had to whip Jesus Christ or whatever else, no blood there. Okay. Everybody, that blood's in heaven. Okay, all of it was taken up there. The Holy Ghost came down and gathered up that blood. He gathered that up. The Father was there, rode upon a cherub, and God blacked the whole thing out, but no man could see that. And it's describing to you what he saw. But it shows you that the Father, in his wrath, has smoke come out of his nostrils. So what's the devil do? He has smoke come out of his nostrils. What do people do on the earth? Right. Smoke come out of their nostrils. Which Father do you think they're following? Their father the devil or God the Father? I don't think that's God the Father they're following. You can just hear their mouths for a little while and realize that. All right? All right, so let's go back to Job. I have a note here. There's a coat found. Is that a new note, old note?
That's old.
That's old?
That's old.
All right. They found an old coat. No. All right. One day you'll get a good preacher, all right? One day. All right. All right. So verse 21 in Job 41, his breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth, and his neck remaineth strength. Sorrow is turned into joy before him. What? But doesn't it talk about in the parables that Jesus Christ said, the parable of the sower, What happens when seed goes on the wrong ground? They receive it anon with joy, but there's no root, there's nothing there. You know what happens? Someone's up here at the altar and they're weeping, and the devil's going to make them get up with joy before they ever get it straight. Or they ever find out what God has against them. I'm so full of joy! And then you follow that life. There's nothing to it. Okay? What happens? The devil turns sorrow into joy. Okay? He turns sorrow into joy. If God can give people joy, then the devil will. If God can give people peace, then the devil will. That's how the Antichrist deceives the world, through peace.
Right.
Okay? Through peace. You know what one of my jobs is to shake people's peace.
You're good at it.
To shake their peace. Okay? I'd like to think that God makes what I say good at it. Now, you know, it's a compliment to me, Ronnie, as far as that goes. But the thing is, God forbid it just be done, you know, through blundering, ha ha ha, macho testosterone kind of nonsense or whatever. You know why I don't do that kind of thing? Because I've never won a fight in my life. You know, so I'm not one of these guys that, you know, somehow, you know, whoop 20 guys or something like that. You know, they used to stand in line to whoop me, you know, and so, you know, it's this idea that I'm going to stand up there with some bravado or macho. It just isn't there, all right? But I'm going to preach the word of God and count on God to step in and do what God does, all right? So, verse 23, the flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as stone, yea, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. When he raises up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breaking, they purify themselves. Okay? In other words, they complain about the cows, you know, bringing global warming, that kind of stuff. Kevin Sheridan's wife put this thing on, said there's, you know, over a million cows in North Dakota, and so far all of them together working at it haven't made it warmer here. All right. Verse 26, the sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold, the spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. By the way, there was a rumor then that Shakespeare helped translate the King James Bible and put his name there. The shaking of a spear. There's no truth to that, but it's a fun rumor. All right? And I heard that as a kid. Verse 30, sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointing things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. Okay, that's that great deep, okay? He maketh the path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. In other words, all bubbly, all right, white. Upon earth there is not his like who is made without fear. Now look at verse 34. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. That thing, I thought it was good what Kyle Beale had to say there, how that goes hand in hand with that. If you're a child of pride, that's your king. And if pride's your problem, that's your king. Okay? That's the one that you worship. That's the one you follow after. If pride's your problem. Okay? And one day, you'll spend eternity with him. If pride's your problem. Okay? He's the king over all the children of pride. Now, that was my last verse. Well, we come have a song. Brother, would you come on up and have a song? How many people here will be annoyed and irritated if we leave 10 minutes early? All right.
Okay, grab your hymnals and stand. Is thy heart right with God?